thanks for listening to A Closer Look here on 90.1. A Metro Atlanta dog was diagnosed with a new dog flu virus that's already affected thousands of dogs in Chicago, and it appears to be spreading throughout the Midwest. Well, lab scientists at the University of Georgia say this is the state's first case of the new virus.
And Jim, you and I both know that summertime calls for special care for our pets. And with the spread of this virus, many pet owners will also be paying special attention. Joining us now is Dr. Tara Riddle from the Peachtree Hills Animal Hospital. Dr. Riddle, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
How would you explain what's new and different about this recent case of dog flu?
Yeah, we've been watching the outbreak in Chicago pretty closely. It started in April, March, and the vets there did a really great job. They started identifying that there were a lot of pets coming in with respiratory symptoms that seemed very different from kennel cough and even the flu strain that we had identified here in the States. Did some virus testing and identified that it was a different strain of flu. Originally, we had a canine flu outbreak in 2004 in Florida, and through virus isolation, they identified it was sort of a mutation of an equine flu virus that jumped into dogs. It has had outbreaks throughout the country over the past few years. There's a vaccine against it that's very effective, very safe. This outbreak looked different. Most of those dogs did not have the virus or the vaccine. And when they were tested and isolated the virus, they found it was a different flu strain. It's actually the sort of classic definer now is called H3N2. The previous virus that we had here is H3N8, and that's the one that we have a vaccine for. So they do not have a vaccine for this virus in Chicago. We are concerned that potentially the vaccine we have for the H3N8, which we've identified a long time ago, might not have cross-protectivity against this new virus, mostly because the tests that were designed to identify the virus, the original flu virus, didn't detect the new flu virus. So we're worried that the antibodies the vaccine makes may not be protective as well. So recommendations now, this is a pretty contagious virus. If dogs come into contact with it, they're going to get it. The fortunate thing is it doesn't have a very high mortality rate, meaning most dogs will survive it. They don't die from this vaccine. They can, much like people, there can be complications with the flu and they can die. But this virus usually runs its course and dogs will recover from it.
What are the symptoms here? What should we look for?
Yeah, big symptoms would be, you know, these dogs with this new strain, the H3N2, are getting sick very quickly. So usually within 1 to 4 days of exposure, they are incredibly lethargic, high fever. They will have coughing, usually some eye and nasal discharge. They are very obviously sick.
When do you decide, hey, my dog's acting kind of funny, maybe I should take him or her to the vet?
Yeah, it's a good question. We always err on the side of if you are concerned at all about your dog, call your vet and get them in. We would always rather see your pet and have it be something simple like allergies or upper respiratory infection. But the faster we can get to them, we can do some testing, we can get supportive care on board, and the greater chance your pet has of survival. So any coughing, lethargy, decreased appetite, any unusual symptoms you see with your dog, let us know. The dogs that are going to be at higher risk are dogs that are going to be in sort of heavily congregated areas. So doggy daycares,
right,
boarding.
A day park, maybe? A dog park?
Exactly. Yeah. Dog parks, dog daycares, boarding facilities. Those are where we really have the contagious risk.
It's hopefully doesn't sound like a silly question. Can you prevent the spread of this? I mean, is there anything that doggy daycares or people can do, particularly if you know your dogs will be around other dogs?
Exactly. And what we're recommending to a lot of our clients now, since we don't have a vaccine for this virus, is keep your dogs at home. You know, if you can rearrange your plans that they're not going to boarding facilities or daycares or dog parks, let's keep them home until we figure out, is this an isolated case or does this mean that the virus is here now?
I have a quick question because, mm-hmm. You know, it's always interesting when we would look for a certain medical organization, a world organization, to declare an epidemic. Mm-hmm. Does it work the same way with animals, too? Who gets to say when something is an epidemic in terms of as it relates to animals?
And I think the CDC, I'm not exactly sure, but I think the CDC does, you know, oversee some of these animal disease outbreaks. And certainly there's a One Health initiative that coordinates vets and human doctors in disease and spread said, as a lot of these diseases are communicable to pets, this flu virus is, or to people, this flu virus is not. People cannot get this flu virus. Cats and dogs are the only animals affected that we know of right now.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to veterinarian Dr. Tara Riddle about canine influenza. And, you know, with this summer here, people are taking to their dogs to the parks, getting out more. Is that a concern? I mean, you kind of said, let's stay in until we really get a handle on this. But the fact is, a lot of people aren't going to hear this. They may not know about it. Mm-hmm. Are you in any way concerned that this is potentially a big deal?
I think the most important thing that I'm recommending to all my clients too is just don't panic. You know, there's, you know, it is a new virus. It is very contagious, but it's not life threatening to most pets. And I think the big take home is, let's not panic. If you think your pet is sick, let's get them seen by a veterinarian. Let's be precautious and not put our pets in harm's way. If we can avoid it, you know, try to, again, to avoid dog parks and doggy daycares and boarding facilities. Rest assured, though, they are on the ball as well. They know it's here. They've been watching Chicago very closely. They have protocols in place. So if they do see dogs that are sick, you know, they're going to intervene and they're going to try to prevent that spread.
And I understand this also can be spread from dogs to cats. Is that true?
Yeah, this is a virus that has been identified from Korea. It's the first time we've seen it in the United States, and it affects dogs and cats there.
Real quickly, you know, summer's coming up, so people, we like to be out more with, mm-hmm. with their animals. I just have a question. I see people running in the summer at 2 p.m. down Peachtree Street with their dogs, and the asphalt is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good idea?
Well, yes and no. We definitely love when animals can get out and exercise with their humans. It definitely makes everybody healthier. We do want to make sure that we're conscious of how different our dogs are from us. They don't sweat like we sweat. We can sweat from every pore in our body. And if you've ever taken a hot yoga class, you know that. You can sweat from your forearms. Dogs can only really sweat from their feet. And if they are on hot pavement, that reduces their ability to evaporate.
Let's get into fleas and ticks as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, we keep hearing about it's summer, you protect your dogs, and Jim, you're a dog owner, so I'm just going to ask you, so I'm going to make you give the answer. Now, do you buy Eleanor those flea collars? Do they work?
I don't use flea collars, but I do use the stuff, I think it's called Frontline, that mm-hmm. you put
topical
down their back.
Yeah. There is a host of products out there. If we had a perfect product, it would be a great world, but we don't. You know, we have not quite a one-size-fits-all, but if you work closely with your veterinarian, they can identify what needs your pet has, what preferences you have, and they can pick a good topical that's going to prevent those fleas for you.
Is there like a flea prediction and tick prediction forecaster that people that you all, because, you know, my cats don't go outside, so they still get the tick and flea protection. But I have people, friends, that say, well, you know, my animals don't go outside, so I'm not worried about fleas or ticks getting in my house.
Yeah, I mean, they are going outside. They have to go outside to go to the bathroom, so they're going outside. And I do even recommend for indoor cats that they be on a good heartworm preventative. A lot of those are combination flea and tick preventions and intestinal parasite preventions as well. A lot of those intestinal parasites that animals get, they can give to us. And so we want to protect our humans that way. And we want to keep our pets as safe as we can against those, you know, parasites we know are out there that could be life-threatening for them. Heartworms is a big one.
I want to touch on that, because heartworms transmitted by mosquitoes, mm-hmm. we're starting to see more mosquitoes.
Absolutely.
How big of a deal is that here in Georgia? I mean, is heartworm something that's widespread?
Yes, absolutely. We work a lot with some rescues, Atlanta Lab Rescue in particular, and we take most of their found dogs that are heartworm positive through heartworm treatment. We're very successful in our treatment, but when we do have a complication that arises, it really just, you know, brings home the gravity of how serious that disease is. I mean, there are parasites that are living inside the heart, and they can kill a pet. And it's 100% preventable if you use your monthly preventative. So it is super, you know, advised to give that preventative year-round, whether you think mosquitoes are out or not. In our climate, it just doesn't get cold enough for you to safely say there's no mosquitoes out. When I worked in New England, I had a mosquito out in the middle of February, and I immediately went to my practice and called all my clients that I had said, take off during the winter, you're fine. It's like, get yourself back on that heartworm preventative, because we do not want to have your pet at risk.
Are there any particular conditions or illnesses that you all see more because of the summer And I'm imagining it probably has something to do with the heat.
Yeah, we definitely can see sort of allergies. It's high allergy season, spring and summer. We can see what are called hot spots, you know, just little irritations on dogs that, you know, just get big quickly, really moist dermatitis areas. Sprains and strains are big in the summer because people are, again, out running with their dogs and being more active. So we're going to see those sprains and strains and little things like that during the summer months.
And can I give my cats ice cream?
Well, sure. A little. As long as their body condition score is ideal.
Well, we talked to a UGA professor a while ago about pet obesity, so yeah. I want to add to that.
All right, so while we're asking kind of unscripted questions,
sure.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I cannot for the life of me figure out why my dog has to do circles every time she makes poo. Why do dogs do that?
It's like water witching. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not really sure at all.
That's a burning question for June.
All of those years of education. Just
she won't do it unless she can spin, and I love her, but she's a little neurotic at times.
Dr. Little, thank you for coming in. Riddle, thank you for coming in and telling us about pet safety care for this summer.
Sure.
We really appreciate it.
Sure.